Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The internal devotees or potencies are all eternal associates in the pastimes of the Lord. Only with them does the Lord advent to propound the Sankirtan movement. Only with them does the Lord taste the mellow of conjugal love. And only with them does he distribute this love of God to people in general. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Distinguishing between pure devotees and internal or confidential devotees, Sri Rupa Goswami, in his book Upadeshamrita, traces the following gradual process of development. Out of many thousands of karmis, one is better when he is situated in perfect Vedic knowledge. Out of many such learned scholars and philosophers, one who is actually liberated from material bondage is better. And out of many such persons who are actually liberated, one who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered to be the best. Among the many such transcendental lovers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the gopis are the best. And among the gopis, Srimati Radhika is the best. Srimati Radhika is very dear to Lord Krishna. And similarly, her ponds, namely Shyamakund and Radhakund, are also very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in his Anubhasya that among the five tattvas, two are energies, Shakti Tattva, and the three others are energetic, Shaktiman Tattva. Unalloyed and internal devotees are both engaged in the favorable culture of Krishna consciousness, untinged by philosophical speculation or fruitive activities. They are all understood to be pure devotees, and those among them who simply engage in conjugal love are called Madhurya Bhaktas, or internal devotees. The loving services in parental love, fraternity and servitude are included in conjugal love of God. In conclusion, therefore, every confidential devotee is a pure devotee of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoys his pastimes with his immediate expansion Nityananda Prabhu, his pure devotees and his three Purusha incarnations, namely Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu and Kshira Dakshaya Vishnu, always accompany the Supreme Lord to propound the Sankirtan movement. Srila Prabhupada ki. So this is a very technical verse dealing with some very elevated subject matters. It's continuing this series where the author has been describing the glories of Advaita Acharya. The whole of the previous chapter was pretty much devoted to Advaita Acharya's glories. Now he's mentioning the other branches of the Chaitanya tree. We read earlier a very nice verse which describes the whole Panchatattva scene. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So in these two verses today, we're discussing about Bhakta Shakti. This is Gadadhar Pandit. He's the energy of the Lord, the internal potency of the Lord. Bhaktakyam is the one who receives the energy. And that is, of course, Srivas Thakur. So as it's explained in this purport, there are three predominators called Shaktiman. These are the energetic. These are the Purushas. So now obviously, as we know, Krishna engages in many different activities in this world. But he doesn't directly perform all of those functions, especially those relating to creation. We hear how Krishna initially expands. First is his immediate expansion, Lord Balaram. Then from there we have the Chaturvyuha expansion, the four expansions. And Mahavishnu is there. And then from Mahavishnu, we then have three Vishnus appear. And these are mentioned here. Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, which is Mahavishnu himself. Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu and Kshira Dakshaya Vishnu. And then these three Purushas, they perform all the activities of creation. And that itself is not sufficient, because then Lord Brahma is there as well. And he performs secondary creation. So Bhagavatam in the second canto discusses these two elements, Sarga and Visarga, primary creation and secondary creation. There is of course a more elaborate description given how the universes emanate from the body of the Lord. And there's a picture just there, only I can see it. unless you all turn around. But it shows bubbles emanating from the Lord, and each bubble is a complete universe. And within that bubble, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu lies down in the bottom part of it. And from there, Brahma appears. And then the whole details of creation take place. But it's described that even before that stage, the universe is described like an egg, under. And it has different layers of ingredients, which are the different material elements. And they're all there in completeness. Yet they do not do anything without the special empowerment or activation of the Supreme Lord. So until his glance takes place, his glance manifests as Shambhu, as Sadashiva initially, and then there are the different Rudra expansions. That glance activates that material energy, which is Durga Devi, essentially. And she is a shadow of the, it's described in the Brahma Samhita, Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bivarti Durga Ichchanu Rupam Api Yasya Chachesta Tesa Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Vachami. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, whose one aspect is this energy Durga, who conducts herself in accordance with the Lord's will, under whose will she conducts herself. Now this Durga is described as the shadow of the Chit potency. And here we're discussing, in this really technical series of verses, all the different Shaktis and potencies of the Lord. Now Durga Devi in this verse is described as Chaya. See, shadow. So she is a shadow of the internal potency of the Lord. That internal potency is actually manifest here in Chaitanya Leela as Gadadhar Pandit. He is non-different to Srimati Radharani. But what is interesting is there is also an aspect of Lalita Devi who is part of that incarnation. And what's more interesting is that yesterday was Lalita Devi's appearance and tomorrow is Radharani's appearance. So the two of them, essentially, of course, we understand that the source of all spiritual energy, the superintendent of all spiritual energy is Srimati Radharani. But then she herself also expands into innumerable forms to assist the Lord in his pastimes and to give pleasure to the Lord. In the material world, we have a tendency to try to do many things ourselves. And we think that if I can control as much as possible and I can do as much as possible myself, I will be able to achieve the biggest result. You see it in different scenarios. In governments, if there is another very competent, very powerful leader, those in power will try to diminish that person's position. In business situations, if you have two business partners and it looks like one business partner decides he wants a bigger share of the wealth than the other, then different attempts take place to start to break up the enterprise, to take over the enterprise. We have court cases which go on for years because people try to control exclusively. But in the spiritual world, it's completely the opposite. Srimati Radharani, although her position is completely unquestionable, she is the internal pleasure-giving Ladini potency of the Lord, non-different to the Lord himself, but only existing in that separate state to give pleasure to the Lord. There is no question of anyone ever coming close to that position. Yet she herself expands into innumerable forms. Of course, we know the eight principal gopis, they are considered her almost direct expansions. Lalita Devi is one of them. And of course, there are different counts. There are 108 gopis also, which are also principal gopis, and another several thousand. These are all considered expansions of the internal potency. And in Chaitanya Leela, they are described as devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit. So this Chaitanya tree consists of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, who is the first expansion, Lord Balaram, and then Advaita Acharya, who is Mahavishnu. Then the third branch of the tree, which is described in the CC later as being the most important, is Gadadhar Pandit. Why? Because he's that pleasure-giving potency. And in this verse, the author describes that the internal devotees or potencies are all eternal associates, and only with them does the Lord advent to propound the Sankirtan movement. Not just the Sankirtan movement, but also to taste the mellow of conjugal love. And only with them does he distribute this love of God to people in general. So we saw we see in the pastimes, as described in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Gadadhar Pandit plays a very important role in all of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He is practically the same color as Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu adopts a beautiful golden color, the golden color of Srimati Radharani. Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam. Although he's Krishna himself, but he's not black. Sangha Upanga Astra Parshadam Yagnai Sankirtana Prayari Ajantihi Sumedasam. He comes, even though he's Krishna himself, he comes in a golden form. And he comes accompanied with his weapons, confidential companions, associates. And these are all we are hearing about in this section, all of the Lord's internal dear associates. So with his associates, he engages in loving relationships, loving reciprocation. And the difference in this avatar is that he doesn't just engage in these activities exclusively behind closed doors, but he also distributes this eternal treasure house of love of Godhead to everyone without discrimination. So that is a special feature of Lord Chaitanya. Now many people in India, they don't know of Lord Chaitanya, or if they know of him, they don't have much faith in him. Now this is their great misfortune, not just in India, throughout the rest of the world also. How many people know Lord Chaitanya? Very few. But still, Prabhupada says, Krishna is the most famous person. And even today, 5,000 years after he came, his glories are still being sung. And this Krishna consciousness movement is bringing out his glories far and wide, increasing his fame. So of course Krishna is always famous, and this process is different to normal material processes where you try to impose an idea on people. This process is simply about awakening the dormant Krishna consciousness that is there in everyone's hearts. That is the beauty of this. It is not something different that is happening to transform us from one situation to another. What is happening is that simply by this process, which is brought about by Lord Chaitanya and all his associates, we actually transform internally to bring out our full potential. Prabhupada gives this example of someone wearing glasses. We hear this example. If someone is wearing red glasses, the world looks red. Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, Sri Sri Gaurav Nitai Ki, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. So our view of this world is very much tainted or tinged by our outlook, by our ability to see. As living entities, we are covered by a subtle body and a gross body. And through them, the soul experiences all its activities and performs all its activities. Yet those two layers are contaminating features for the pure living entity. The living entity is an original, pure spirit soul, part of the Lord's superior energy. Aparayam itastu anyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabayo baho yayedam dharyate jagat. Of course, Krishna has in the previous verse explained that bhumir apo analovayo kamano buddhirevacha ahankara ityam me bhinna prakriti rashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. These constitute my separated material energies. This is in the 7th chapter of the Gita. Krishna is explaining some details of the material creation. Then in this verse, aparayam itastu anyam, he's saying, but contrary to this dull matter, these separated material energies of mine, there is another energy, a superior energy, which includes all the living entities who are trying to enjoy this material world and her resources, the jiva tattvas. Yet they are described as superior energy. So that is our actual position. In order for us to advance in spiritual life, we have to actually know who we are and what we're capable of. And a lot of the problem of spirituality in this world comes without a clear concept and distinction of matter and spirit. There are a lot of very wishy-washy philosophies where different higher aspects of material existence are confused with spirituality. I told this story last time I gave class that I met one lady once. And she said, I'm a very spiritual person. I said, yes, I'm sure. And she said, yes, I like hearing music, nice music. I like painting, I like art, I like being with nature. Okay, this is nice, and it is better than someone who doesn't like these things, but this is not spiritual. This is bhumir apo analo vayo. This is attraction for the elements of this world and its different manifestations. Even our subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego, is simply one of these elements. It's material. It does have spiritual counterparts, but as long as we're here in this material world and engaged in material activities, those different, that subtle body takes on a very materialistic consciousness. And of course, Maya Devi, Durga Devi, as we spoke about, she uses these specific weaknesses of ours to trap the living entity. In the Gita, it's described that the enemy, what is the enemy? Lust, has taken shelter in certain sitting places. These are the mind, the intelligence, and senses. Mind, intelligence, and senses. Lust has taken residence in these senses, in these three elements. And therefore, if we know that the enemy, at the moment there's a great deal of war going on around the world, or potency for war, if you know that you have been infiltrated by the enemy, the best thing that you can do is to try to root out that enemy as quickly as possible. So given that in our spiritual lives, we are trying to become free from these contaminating influences of the material energy, knowing where they're situated and how they act is a very important step. Knowing that the modes of material nature directly influence and in most cases, 99% of cases, directly control the mind should be a very useful piece of information. Not only that, but those elements, those energies, those material energies, which are effectively the shadow of the original spiritual energies, they've also taken shelter of the intelligence and the senses. So in a normal situation, we are supposed to receive transcendental intelligence, transcendental knowledge from the Supreme Lord through His pure devotees. Then we are supposed to use that transcendental intelligence to control the mind. And then that transcendentally controlled mind regulates the senses. Yet, on a normal level, these things are reversed. The senses produce some impetus, some impulse. The senses make contact with some object. The eyes make contact with a beautiful object. The nose makes contact with some delicious smell, and so forth. And then they actually confuse the mind into thinking that this situation should be allowed to continue. That you should actually continue fulfilling my desire to get more and more of these things. So the senses are using the mind to assist the senses in contacting more and more sense objects. And the mind, as we all know, the intelligence tries to control the mind, but after some time fails. Sometimes I like to think of the mind as being like a mosquito. If you've been to India or tropical places, you know that you've got these wonderful little creatures, mosquitoes. They give you some interesting pastimes. So if a mosquito comes buzzing near you, you swat it away. And you think that's the end of it. But no, it comes straight back. And you swat it away again. And this time it goes around the back of your head where you can't see him. And it bites you somewhere. So these mosquitoes are very, very, very persistent. So just like that, the mind is also persistent, the uncontaminated mind. The intelligence gives good instructions to the mind. And the mind, for some period of time, accepts it. The intelligence swats the mind once, twice. But after a certain time, we ourselves, of course, the soul is higher than the intelligence. Higher than he, the intelligence is the soul. The soul, working through the intelligence, gets fed up of swatting away the mind. And so in the contaminated situation, the situation continues where we repeatedly surrender to the dictates of material energy. And this becomes an ongoing struggle in the life of a devotee. They receive transcendental intelligence, that is without doubt. They receive constantly transcendental intelligence directly from the Lord, from His Shastras, from His pure devotees. Then for some time the mind is regulated. The mind is regulated enough to convince the devotee to come to the temple, to come and attend the programs, to come and chant, to come and dance with the devotees, to come and participate in the sadhu sangha. And this goes on for some time. But after a little while, the material energy swells again. Material energy's influence increases. And we all experience how she has a wonderful potency to cover us and drag us down. Two shaktis she has, specific. And so the living entity struggles this way, that way, looking for Krishna, sometimes failing. But that struggle, it is described as being infinitely better than the complete non-struggle of a materialist who simply surrenders, and even if he does his material occupation perfectly, it is all according to the words of the Bhagavatam, Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. Dharma Svanustita Pumsam Vishvakshena Kata Suya Not Padet Yadi Ratim Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. Even if one engages in his perfect occupational duties with great attention and looks after his family members, his work situation, everything perfectly, all of that is a useless waste of time. The devotee, rather, who makes some attempt to reach Krishna and yet sometimes falls away even while in a neophyte stage, as the verse describes, that devotee, what loss is there? What loss is there for such a devotee? But what gain is there for the person who dedicates his life to material energy? There is none. We are hearing here about the internal potency of the Lord. The Lord engages in pastimes not with his external potency, with his internal potency. We are all hopefully aspiring one day to be part of the pastimes of the Lord. And so we need to become accustomed to being under the shelter of his internal potency. The Lord's one energy, this Maya Shakti, acts in two different ways. As Yoga Maya, for the sake of Krishna's pastimes, or as Mahamaya, which is the external dreadful potency that we all experience. And the transformation takes place by Krishna's desire, because of course Krishna is the one who is actually in charge of this material energy. Mama Maya Duratya, Mam Evaye Prapadyante, Mayam Etan Tarantite, Krishna explains. Now this material energy is very, very difficult to overcome. But one who has surrendered unto me can easily overcome it. So Krishna, when he sees that a living entity is attempting to take shelter of the internal potency as opposed to the external potency, he gives that devotee all help. I give them what they lack and provide what they lack. Basically, the Lord makes up for the person's shortcomings and supports him with whatever is required in spiritual life. So that is how Krishna helps. But we need to complete that process fully. We need to have understood that lust has taken shelter in the mind, intelligence and the senses. We need to have fully controlled that using the different processes described in the Bhagavad Gita. The most important process, of course, being the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we need to have controlled this tendency of ours to constantly feed this enemy which has taken shelter amongst us. And we need to have resituated ourselves by Krishna's mercy only in the internal potency. Of course, as I mentioned, this is a very technical subject. The internal potency of the Lord loosely also describes his three subdivisions, Ladini Shakti, Samvit, Sandini. And tomorrow being Srimati Radharani's appearance, we'll definitely be hearing about the Ladini Shakti, which is the pleasure-giving potency of the Lord. We have the Sandini potency, which of course is the sustaining, eternal, existing potency, which manifests the material universes and the spiritual universes. It's described that 1/4 of the creation is this temporary, miserable, material world, and the remaining 3/4 is the spiritual manifestation. Both of these are manifestations of the Sandini Shakti. And then Samvit Shakti, that knowledgeable potency, is there. Mahavishnus are expansions of this Shakti. So we have these three, and within the CC, within the Chaitanya Bhagavat, within the book teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and of course the works referred to here also, Upadeshamrita, more description is given of exactly how this detailed breakdown of the spiritual material worlds takes place. We are generally only aware of this small planet. These days they're very proud of sending some rover to Mars. A lot of people are very excited that there is some remote controlled buggy running around on Mars. But these are still very insignificant. Very small planets, very insignificant. Devi Mahesha Haridama Suteshu Teshu Goloka Dhamni Nicha Dhamni Tale Chatasya Devi Mahesha Haridama Suteshu Teshu. This whole creation starts with Goloka Vrindavan. Right at the bottom is Durga Dham, Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham is slightly higher, and the Vaikuntha planets are in between. This creation is vast, and the spiritual component of it constitutes 3/4 of the entire creation. This 1/4, which is this miserable material world, it's miserable, but still Krishna provides the opportunity for us to escape it. He provides, he explains, he comes down personally. He comes down not only to engage in pleasurable pastimes, he comes to taste the mellow of conjugal love, so that others, the other living entities, will have some concept of what this actually is. And only with his internal associates, he distributes this love of God to people in general. So, in the verse itself, a little distinction was given. Pure devotees and internal or confidential devotees. Now, a pure devotee is anyone who engages in a very pure relationship with the Supreme Lord, in one of the 5 rasas. What are the 5 rasas? Shanta, Dasya, Vatsalya, Sakyam, and Madhurya. So these 5 rasas, Shanta is neutrality. There is not an active component of service involved there. Dasyam is direct service. And these expansions which have accompanied Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Mahavishnu Sri Advaita Acharya, they are actually described as non-different to the Lord in the sense of being Shaktimam. They are actually the energetic functions of the Lord. Yet they always adopt the position of being a servant. Lord Nityananda comes to completely serve the Supreme Lord. Advaita Acharya comes to serve the Supreme Lord. That is a characteristic which is repeated again and again in the previous chapter in this book. Their purpose is to come and to serve. So they adopt this mood of Dasyam. Then Vatsalya, of course we know Nanda Maharaj, etc., exists in Vatsalya Ras. But it's described that despite all of these rasas, the topmost rasa is Madhurya Ras, conjugal love. And it's described the gopis of Vrindavana situated in that Madhurya Ras. But of those, there is one principal gopi, Srimati Radhika. And she's the embodiment of that Ras. And her feature empowers all other devotees. The Bhakti Shakti, if you like, is her property. And if anyone develops any slight ability to serve the Supreme Lord, that is due to her sharing a little of that Shakti with that devotee. So tomorrow is an ideal day for us to pray for that. We are all wanting to serve the Supreme Lord. So many devotees are engaged in so many ways. Yet without her permission and her blessings, it cannot happen. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself comes specifically adopting her mood. And Gadadhar Pandit comes as well. There are numerous pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would always be beside the side of the Lord. He never wanted to leave him. Just like the gopis of Vrindavan, they were willing to completely disregard all their vows, everything, in order to serve and to be with Krishna. Gadadhar Pandit also exhibits this on occasion. Gadadhar Pandit, of course, had taken a vow of Kshetra Sannyas in Puri. Now, due to various different tricks of different devotees, Mahaprabhu was somehow persuaded to stay in Puri for a length of time. But he tried, he left, and Gadadhar Prabhu followed him. Mahaprabhu told him, "You should not follow me. You've taken a vow to stay in this place." Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, and the devotees didn't want him to go because they wanted him to stay there in Puri and Navadvip. So Gadadhar Pandit followed him. And Mahaprabhu chastised him severely. He said, "You've taken a very serious spiritual vow. Why are you leaving this to come with me?" Gadadhar Pandit said, "To hell with my Kshetra Sannyas, my so-called vow. I have no time for this. Wherever you are, that place is Vrindavan." And if I can be with you serving your lotus feet, that itself is superior to any other vows that I keep. Now this is of course not a license for devotees to skip their vows, but it's an indicator that if you have actually directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your presence, or you are situated on that supreme platform of absolutely pure devotional service, as really Radharani can be, then you can behave in ways which are a little unusual. This is of course the prerogative only of Srimati Radharani. Others cannot imitate. Srimati Radharani is the source of that Shakti, and Srivas Thakur, he heads all the devotees. Srivas in Chaitanya Leela is said he is an incarnation of Narad Muni, a jiva who comes, accepts energy from Gadadhar Pandit, Srimati Radharani, and engages in devotional service. So that is why this distinction is given here. Of the five panchatattva, of the five features, three are Shaktiman, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and two are Shaktis. What is the exact word that's used? Two are Shakti Tattva. And this is Gadadhar Pandit and Srivas Pandit. And so only with these personalities does the Lord engage in his pastimes. So we have to progressively elevate ourselves beyond the platforms of this material consciousness. And we aspire, devotees aspire, especially followers in the line of Rupa Goswami, we aspire to be servants of the servants, of the servants of Lord Chaitanya. As he himself demonstrated, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. We don't aspire to take the position of Srimati Radharani. That's a very foolish idea in its first place. We don't aspire to take the position of any of her principal gopis. That's also very silly. So we have to be very careful that we know our position. We are part of the Lord's superior energy. Yet we are also described as marginal, tathashta shakti, jiva potency. Why? Because we have a tendency from time to time to not come under the potency of the Supreme Lord's internal potency, but to take shelter of his external potency. So that is our propensity. There is no question ever of the internal potency of the Lord ever being under the control of the external potency. It's not possible, because the external potency is subordinate to the internal. But we being marginal, although we are superior to external potency, we still have a tendency to be under the shelter of the external. So knowing that that's our situation, we can then advance through our different, in our different rasas with the Lord. We'll engage in different services to him. There was something interesting in the previous verse where it explains how a devotee who worships the Supreme Lord, let me just find the translation. Yes, those who engage in the service of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Advaita Prabhu generally have relationships of parental love, fraternity, servitude and neutrality. So the four rasas are there. When such devotees develop great attachment for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they too become situated within the intimate circle of devotees in conjugal love. This gradual development of devotional service is described by Sri Narottam Das Thakur as follows. And then there's the whole song, Gauranga Bolite Habe. So this was discussed last week. But the basic idea is that such devotees, if they are in different rasas, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they may become situated in conjugal love. Only by the mercy of the Lord. Not by any individual effort of the individual living entity. We by ourselves have actually no permission, no right to engage in devotional service to the Lord. Although it is our birthright in one sense. It is the core of our existence that we render service to the Lord. That's the nature of Shakti. That's the nature of the predominated, to serve the predominator. Shakti should serve the Shaktiman. It's inherent, it's in part of our DNA. Yet because we have covered ourselves so much, that right to serve the Lord, which is actually what we need and which sustains us, that can also be also covered from us. It can also be hidden away from us. So only by the Lord, when he Mama Maya Duratre Duratyaya, when he takes us away from this heavy, dangerous material energy of his, he can elevate us into one of these positions, of one of these rasas. A devotee generally doesn't aspire for Shantaras. A devotee wishes to render active service to the Lord. And each person will be situated in a particular relationship with the Lord. If somehow some of them are situated in a relationship with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy is very, very important because he lifts the coverings of this material world. He lifts that for us so that we can actually participate in the internal pastimes of the Lord. It's a very, very important feature. Nityananda Prabhu also, well, of course, expands as the empowering factor for spiritual masters. Through that mercy, the spiritual master gives us Divya Gyan Ride Prakashito. Spiritual master gives us transcendental knowledge, which allows knowledge of Krishna and a connection with Krishna to be developed. That itself is a symptom of an uncovering of the material consciousness. So that is Lord Nityananda's position. Advaita Acharya also deserves much respect. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we somehow manage to follow Srivas Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit, we may also potentially relish that conjugal love at some point. But it's not for us to demand, and it's not for us to imitate either. A great deal of havoc is caused in many places by individuals rapidly elevating themselves to Gopi Bhav or many such speculations. The process is very clear, it's a very merciful process, but it's a very simple and beautiful process also. We serve the Lord, and at a time and place of the Lord's choosing, He will uplift us into His own internal confidential service. So that's the a few thoughts on these two verses. I don't know if anyone has any comments, questions.